You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John in chapter 14. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your grace, your presence, Spirit of God, for your wonderful person and your ministry. To make it all real, to make it all work. Thank you very much. So, Lord, thank you again for what you've made possible by your death, burial, and resurrection. And, God, here we are, assembled together in your day, set apart for you, that we would have the wonderful benefits, that we would have the exercise, the experience, the enjoyment of the exercise and the experience as we proceed forward. So God, thank you very much for caring. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we're in the upper room. And being in the upper room, we found that the Lord is trying to help the 11. Judas has gone out to betray him. And the 11 are being instructed. And they're being instructed because we shared together 100 times. He's going out, the Lord is going to go, and their world as they perceive it, as they understand it, is coming to an end. And everything that they thought might be the kingdom, Christ the King, the overcoming Rome, all the benefits of the millennium somehow in their little minds would be there, but it isn't. None of it is. Death, prison, that's all they knew. And he's trying to help them. Very personal. The 11 are the most personal, given the most personal attention, the most specific information in a most specific way. Now, having said that, and verse 6, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For if you had known me, you should have known my Father. Also, from henceforth you know him, and have seen him. And then Philip, as we shared last time, chimed in, show us the Father. And we shared together, Philip is looking for some miracle. They're in the room, the door's closed. There's no way. God, you do wonderful things with changing 12 the bread into many loaves, etc., and the fishes. God, you can do anything. Make the Father visible in the room. So we can see him. He believed that. And God could have done that in an awesome way. Now, that's what he wanted. Now, to add to this a little different window to see the same thing, our Lord is making it very clear to them that he who is standing in front of them is the truth, he is the way, he is the life. He is the Father. He is God. The infinite, awesome God. Everything is in the middle of God. All of the billions of galaxies are in the trillions of galaxies are in the middle of God as a little dot. God is everywhere. There's nothing outside of God. God, you are something else. Absolutely. Now, so how do we handle that? Well, God became a man, born in Bethlehem of Judea, as we shared together many times, in order that we could come to grips with God, because we are made special in his image and likeness, and no one else. Angels? No. Nope. Humans. And humans, Israel has rejected at the moment, for the moment, God. the Gentiles and Jews crucified him. Now, God, you're showing grace. And in order to show grace, you even went way beyond our understanding or anyone else's. And you chose to take the whosoever that would believe, and you're going to demonstrate your wonderful resurrected life in the person that believes in thine heart, believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead. And you're going to demonstrate that life, and the body of believers, here we are, collective together at a given location, are bearing witness of the wonderful resurrected life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The empty tomb, but not empty pews. Here we are. God, we're bearing evidence, testimony to your marvelous person and presence. Now, God, what did you... You're trying to tell him who you are, rather specifically. So a little different window. Over to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and chapter 5. And in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 5, may I pick up, please, in verse 48. The last verse, chapter 48. And you will note, our Lord, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So if you wanted the Lord to take over right then, the Jews, stop everything, take over Rome, everybody, he said, this is what it's going to be like. This is what it's going to be like out there. So if you want it, this is what you're going to have to understand. Your whole world is going to change right off. And I'm looking, remember Father, I'm looking, God, you're going to go and make everyone understand that they are to be, the objective is to make them perfect. The word perfect, to bring to a given end, to finish, to complete, to make an end of things, to finish it off, complete it. Be you perfect, complete, full, complete, finished, as your heavenly Father is complete, full, finished. God, you have made us in your image and likeness to be able to honor you and know you in a most awesome way. Now, that's the whole point. Now, you made that for all humanity, right? But humanity hasn't done very well, so you're demonstrating in grace right now that whosoever believes is placed into your wonderful body, the church, which is your body in a unique, awesome way. We are members, in particular, of your body. Like all the parts, your liver, your spleen, the lungs, and all of the different things, they're all part of your physical body, and they all belong to your head. God, the believers, belong to you in this church age. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to the Gospel of John in chapter 1. Now, God doesn't say, be ye perfect for nothing. Because that's what he is looking for. He wants you to be perfect. But no one's perfect. Ah, that's true. But God is perfect. God is. And in order to fit in to the arrangement that I have in mind, everything has to be in good and right order. It has to be perfect. 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 Okay. Hang on to that. Now, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, like in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So God, you're the only creator, the only God, and the only Savior. That's correct. And therefore, John chapter 1, and therefore, what did you do, God? Verse 14. And the Word, God the Son, the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us, bones and blood and brains, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God became manifest in the wonderful person of Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea. And his wonderful purpose, verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. That's the whole point. No one's seen God. How can you see God? You can't. Can't. Not as we understand it. Verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Son, which is in the bosom, the innards, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him to go out and tell something outwardly, to explain it, to exegete it, to make it clear. His assignment, the Lord Jesus Christ become flesh, is to make God clear so you can understand. The Lord Jesus said in the upper room, most specifically, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said it. You can't make it any clearer. I'm telling you what it's all about. Now hang on to that, because in the process of that, God, is there any question about that you are who you are? No. There's no question, our God, in all of it, for 33 and a third years, we have what? Understood what? That you are God. Now I made it clear, God said, I made God to them, to us. I made it very clear, he is the sinless Son of God. Sinless. He doesn't have to do anything. He's born without sin. No sin. We need a Savior. We need a substitute. We need someone to take our place and stand in our stead. God only, we aren't equipped. God said, I provided myself in my Son, in Christ Jesus. He's sinless. The wages of sin is death. Think of Sunday school. The wages of sin is death. He can't die. I can't die, said God. But I myself am willing, in my wonderful wisdom and glory and honor, for my glory and honor, I'm going to make myself, since I'm the only creator, I'm the only Savior, I'm the only God, who can honor God except God? So God, you're going to honor and display yourself in a most magnificent way on Calvary's cross. You yourself are going there. And you can go there because you are the sinless Son of God to pay for the sin of the world. The wages of sin is death. You're going to die and take our place in a most awesome way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so for all of these 33 and a third years as we share together, and you saw him. So there's no question. Are you sinless? Absolutely. Do you need to do anything? Nope. I could just go sit under a tree and wait till Calvary's cross. That's all I could, and I would be fine. I could just wait, take a vacation, and wait. And at the time comes, I'd report to Jerusalem and be crucified. But I'm sinless. I'm the Savior. Is that it? Oh, no. No, it isn't it. It isn't it at all. That part is absolutely true. And that part makes what's going to happen to you to be perfect is the next part. For me to die for your sin is wonderful. But you see, I'm going to present God wants everyone perfect. Perfect. Mm-hmm. That's what he wants. Okay. Now, so having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so therefore we have his birth, and his birth, the feeding of the 5,000, healing of the blind man, and the healing, people resurrected, by that I mean resuscitated, all of those different things, all of those wonderful signs, wonders, and miracles. And they all saw them. So therefore, where did they originate? They originated in the Father, God the Father, in a most unique, wonderful way. So, all right, they originated in the Father. And now, Lord, we've done this 1,000 times. I'm just doing it differently so you can see it. John chapter 8. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, you would recall, as we did in prayer meeting and elsewhere, I'm going to read verse 28 and 29 to pick up the mood. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then, on the cross, then shall you know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me, the Father. He hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So your whole 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 33 and a third years, all of it has not been one moment, one second of all of that years, of all of those hours, that you did not please God. That's correct. I did not fail at one moment, at any moment, for 33 and a third years, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I never failed once to please the Father. Now, wow, that's interesting. Now, God, and we know that. We know that to be true. Now, what else do we need to know? Over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Now, you'll notice our Lord is quoting Psalm 8. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And now he says this about man, about humans made in the image and likeness of God. Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. What for? For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. She had to be born at Bethlehem, Judea, to die. That's right. And as perfect man, sinless Son of God, he is crowned with glory and honor. Now that's what you did for Adam and Eve. You crowned them with glory and honor. They were to be your wonderful, wonderful way, for you to find expression, God, in their life. And that you would show yourself in humanity in a unique way to the angels, good and bad. We studied all that. They were good and bad angels, and anyone else that wanted to pay attention, the humans, that I'll show my wonderful person in humans. Now, Adam and Eve had that wonderful assignment, but they did not do it. Sin came along and took that away. Now, so but our Lord Jesus, as perfect man, is crowned with glory, and he's the perfect man, the man God intended humans to be. Verse 10. For it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect, there's your word, through sufferings. So God, you're going to, I came, born of Bethlehem of Judea, and I'm crowned with glory and honor. I'm the man God intended humans to be. So I got that part. You're sinless, that's right. But I want you to know what the arrangement is. The arrangement is that I am here, and I'm here to do a wonderful thing for you. If I didn't do this, it would never happen. I'm demonstrating to you what it means to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, therefore, in the light of that, God, you're out, we're going to go to the cross, that's right. I'm going to go perfect, through suffering, through by the agency, suffering. You're going to have me go through sufferings. That's right. Chapter 5. Chapter 5, if I may. And in verse 08. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. The word obedience means to hear with the ear. in order to proceed and do it. The Old Testament word would be an ear witness. An ear witness. The Israel was to be an ear witness. Hearing. Did you hear what I said? We did. How do we know? How do I know that you heard it? I'm obeying it. I heard with a view to do it. Now, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He was suffered in order to become perfect. He went to the cross to make it finished. What was he making perfect? He's going to have to go through living 33 and a third of him public ministry. To what? To demonstrate what God you created humans for what reason? In order to enjoy God. Now, in order to honor God. Now, we're all children of somebody, true? Somebody, somewhere, father, mother, it has to be male, female, contrary to the world, male and female. Do you understand? They have to have one. And you and I are all in the image of our parents. Now, and in the image of our parents and all of them before us, here we are in bearing the image of our parents. And we look at the world around us, and if perhaps if we were a king or something, our father was a king or some potentate somewhere. Maybe. But all of us are humans, and we all, with pomp and pride and everything else, we bounce around on earth. But are we really enthused about being everything that our father was? Not likely. As good as your father might have been, as bad as he might have been. No. What are we looking for? But when it comes to humans, that's us humans. So we say Father and we use it in a very human way. When it comes to God, God wants his children to be like he is, to be able to enjoy your Father as Father. Now, we don't have anything to offer. What are we going to offer? But God, to be able to be like your Father, to enjoy your Father, different, isn't it? You want me to be able to know you in such a way that I can enjoy the fullness of your marvelous person? That's correct. What did my son do? My son is the perfect Savior. He's sinless. But he did something else for you. He showed you, in order for him to finish. Let me keep going before I say that. Over if I can. Now remember, he became perfect, was made perfect. In a most wonderful way, by obedience. Obedience. He went through all of these things. He suffered, having been made perfect in a most wonderful way. And therefore, our Lord, going back, you don't have to do it, Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, to the John the Baptist and the water and all of that. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, this is my Son. Now, and he, my Son, while you turn your page a little, 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5, verse 21. Our Lord, in his saving grace, God hath made him, to be sin. God has caused him to be treated as sin. That's why he's going to be punished, condemned, because I'm going to look at my son and see him as I see you. And what would happen to you, I'm going to do to him. And I'm going to forsake him for 3 hours on Calvary's cross. Wow. That's what I'm going to do. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So God, you didn't just provide a Savior. You provided a life. You provided a vocation. When you get saved, you have a vocation. Your new vocation is to honor and outwork the wonderful life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your advocation is to go to Joe's sweatshop and make a buck and pay the bills and be a testimony. That's your job. But that's your advocation. Our Lord, are you going to show us your advocation? No. I'm going to show you your vocation. What is man made for? Man is made to enjoy God from day one to day forever. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's what he's for. Our Lord Jesus Christ was made flesh. And he went through 33 and a third years, as it were. He went through and demonstrated that he honored from day one, we've been sharing it, the Father. Everything I do is to show the Father. It's all about the Father. That's why you're created. It doesn't say you're going to become a member of his kingdom, per se. When you get saved, you become a child of God. You become a son of God. We say it, you're in the family of God. It's all about that. For God to be your Father. For real. And right. It's all about that. And God, that's what he's doing. What are you doing, Lord? I have to finish the purpose I made you. For why I made you? I made you to serve God and know God from day one to the end of forever. I want you to honor him just like I did. I'm perfect man. I'm perfect man, and perfect man is to show a perfect God. As my Father is perfect, so you'll be perfect. Wow, okay. Made him to be sin for us. Over to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. And you'll see it again. Chapter 1 in 1 Corinthians. And you will notice, may I pick up in verse 29, no flesh shall glory in his presence. 1 Corinthians 1 and 29. Now, verse 30. But of him, God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God, that's right, is made. There's your little verb, made, to become, to become. To become what? To made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So the only thing, God, what did he do? He had one objective, which we tried to say in prayer meeting to help you, to understand what it's all about. It isn't about us. It's about God, about his marvelous person. You know, I never, if you were, it's not a good illustration, but perhaps, think of the queen over there. A queen dies and I become king. And, you know, make believe. And in the process of that, that's a wonderful heritage, isn't it? Wonderful inheritance. Wow. And they get a lot of money in the jewels and everything, you know, crown jewels. Wow. Everything's good. You don't have to worry about hamburgers anymore. No siree. Everything's great. But hey, wow, what riches. What awesome riches. Everything. You walk into it. And you know, you can't go out and live in the dump anymore. You can't go out and do the ordinary things in the same ordinary way. You're going to be ordinary, but you're going to be extraordinary. And in the process, it's all different. When God, what are you going to do with us? You'll bring us into your wonderful presence to know you, to have all of the wonderment of you. How? As a father. So that you could, that's what you want. That's what I want. That's what I created you for. That's why I made you in my image and likeness. No one understood that. And I had to go and show grace in a most marvelous way, by way of my son, and by way of rejection of Israel and the Gentiles. But in the process, God raises up whosoever's that would believe. And therefore, in the process of that, God, what do we do? What did the Lord do? He made himself wholly available for everything that you wanted in your life. He pleased you 24 hours a day. That's right. He represented the Father. I started to say that. That's what we're doing. We aren't representing. My father was a silversmith like Paul Revere and all of that stuff. But I don't represent my father. My father's long gone. But hey, God saved me not to be with my earthly father. No, that terminated. And it terminates. No, not that. No, you saved me, God. You save us. You give us birth so that we can have a spiritual birth to know you and honor you. Father. And that Father, that's forever. It's all about enjoying. That's what you made us for. You didn't make us to be grow up in the field like a flower, grass, and disappear. No, you gave us uniqueness. You put eternity in our heart. And therefore, God, here we are. Now, so in the light of that, so God, here we are making ourselves available to all that you've made available to us. Back over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. And in Hebrews chapter 10, may I pick up in thought, verse 10:5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, N-O-T, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he saith, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldst not, neither hath pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Sliding down to verse, well, I might as well read it. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will, that's the Ten Commandments, replaced by the cross, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected, there's your little word, perfected forever them that are sanctified. So God, what your whole purpose is what? When you went to the cross, what did you do? Go with me, please, over to John, Gospel of John. And in chapter 19, now God's wonderful working. John chapter 19, picking up immediately if I can, though it's found in verse 28, so. Verse 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, perfected, completed, it's done. I have demonstrated for 33 and a third years, what a human being is supposed to enjoy and know, a unique relationship to God, start, and it finishes, and everything in between. And I have made it possible. I have fulfilled. I am the sinless Son of God. And I have honored the reason you were created, to make your vocation clear to you. It could never be. So when I came to save you, when I come to save you, I come to make you perfect. How can you enjoy God if you aren't perfect? Well, I'm not perfect. No, none of us are. Wow. Now, God, here we are looking. Over, if you would please, just to catch it again, over to John chapter 17. Well, you're in John. Why not? John chapter 17. And may I pick up, please, John chapter 17, sliding just to get the flavor of it quickly. In the great prayer before our Lord goes out to the garden and then to crucifixion, John 17, verse 23. Oh, I'm going to read you. It's an awesome section anyway. Verse 22. And the glory, said the Lord, which thou hast given me, I have given them, the believing heart, that purpose they may even be one as we are one. A oneness. One Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost are one. To have a part, a share in that relationship in an awesome way. How so? In the person of Jesus Christ. You're a new creature where? In Christ Jesus. You aren't going to fit in. You only fit in because you're in Christ. And Christ fits in perfectly. He fits in perfectly. Therefore, verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that purpose, they may be made perfect, there's your word, perfect, in one. That the world may know what? That thou hast sent me and hath loved them as thou hast loved me. So, God, you're talking about a unique relationship. Absolutely, I'm talking about it. Chapter 17, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now, what's it? Did you ask yourself a question? Am I like him? I'm sent into the world as he is. To say, I represent him. He's my life. I represent him. How am I going to represent him? By his wonderful life. And he's going to live and outwork his life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we're going to learn to trust him to outwork our unique relationship to God. So whether we're eating, drinking, coming, going, working, whatever, we do all to the glory of God. So we're going down the corridor of time, looking to God. And all of it is to display what did you intend the human beings that live down the street, that live over in Europe, that live in the West Coast, what did you intend those people to see? I want them to see the purpose of being a human, going from being dead in sins to alive in Christ. I want them to see what it is to be saved, to see what it is to know me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, etc. Wow, you're going to display all that. Absolutely, absolutely, God. That's what you're doing. Now, as my Father sent me, so send I you. So we have that with missions. What's missions about? That's missions. And you ask the person, do you understand what you're doing? How are you going to send them out? They don't even understand what they're doing. How do you plant a church, a New Testament church? Well, we do this and do that. Well, biblically, how are you ever going to do it? Well, you're fumbling around. And I'm going to send you over there to East Oshkosh to represent us, to build a church, to start a church. How are you going to start a church? You don't even know what one is. Have you ever been in one? Not a building, not with people. Have you ever been in a body of believers that are making some effort, energy, to try to do it? I know. Well, then how can you do it? How on earth can you do it? You can't. Now, so therefore, if I can, in the awesomeness of all, over to, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. And you will note, please, in Hebrews chapter 6, may I pick up, please? I hope you got the idea. It's an awesome thing. And the Lord Jesus Christ perfectly fulfills the vocation that you were to have.
What job? What a job should I have?
Where do I go to get this and get that? And I want to do this and what? All of those are wonderful advocations. But for the believer, their vocation has been given to them already. They are to represent 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, a unique, personal, wonderful relationship to Almighty God. You want to know what it is? That's it. How many are doing it? Well, I don't know. But that's what God said. And you made it possible, Lord. That's right. Because, did I do, I could have left. When we did the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 30, we read that, right? Oh, we did. See, my mind's moving too quick. Anyway, what he says is, it is finished. Perfected. That's what we did. It's perfected. I'm all finished. Now, you'll receive me as your Savior, and I make it all happen. Who makes it happen? The Spirit of God makes it happen. That's what his assignment is. To make what? To make you be able to enjoy the benefits of your Heavenly Father as his children in a unique, wonderful way. 7 days a week in the midst of the thick and thin, the much, the little, the easy, the hard, to be able to enjoy being a child of God. Thank God for your mom and dad. But they don't replace God. Wow. Now, so, verse six, chapter 6, verse 1, Hebrews. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto what's the little word, dear friends? Perfection. That's right. What are we supposed to be doing? Being perfected. So what's the purpose of your job, your home, your pain, your heartache, your headache, the easy, the hard, just living on planet Earth? It's to let the whole system work and use and exercise you by the things. How did he do it? By the things which he suffered. He suffered them. He suffered being with humans. He suffered with their ignorance and their stupidity and their stubbornness and their unbelief. He suffered it. In order to what? Honor the Father. Because that was his assignment. So, now, God, I'm getting it a little bit, and you made it very clear. Therefore, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, etc., etc. So we aren't going to do that. No, no, no. We have a wonderful, wonderful movement forward. Now, over, if you would please, while you're here, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And you would note, after the great help on understanding why we have to have faith, without faith it's impossible to please him. Chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, bearing witness to God, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, our own unbelief, etc. And let us run with patience, bearing up under the load, the race that is set before us. We're going to run the race. Well, boy, we're getting older and everything. Harder to run. Hold it. Looking. How am I going to do it? Where's your inspiration for your perspiration? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. See the word finisher, perfecter. He finished, and he perfects in the believing heart his whole assignment. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is for what? To finish it out. He made it possible. It's impossible. Absolutely. It's crazy. Except it's real, and it's right, and God made it possible. Wow. Therefore, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So God, we aren't in a little picnic. We're moving in the world like he did. And the world system hates light. It hates bright. It loves darkness. Loves evil. That which leaves God out of the picture. Wow. Now God, here we are. So, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, would you go over with me over to Colossians? All kinds of ways to do this, but just a little in closing. God, that's what it's all about. That's right. You say you don't mean that. That's a full life. That is your life. I think it says, Christ is your life. Doesn't it say that? What is it? Whose life is it? It doesn't say you are your life. It says Christ is your life. And that's what you're supposed to live. Whose life? Christ in you. That's what you're doing. You're trying to find it in yourself. You'll never find it. You'll never find it. You'll be the same old poof. Oh, that's no offense to you. You'll be the same old whatever. Nothing. That's what you do. You go to church. And after all, church is getting so out of place because we've lost the truth. We've lost God. And even why go to church unless you get entertained, unless it's a big club, unless you got a whole lot of stuff. Well, why are we going? Why go? There's a whole lot of clubs, maybe even more entertaining. No, because we're believers. God saved us out of the world. Therefore, Colossians, and chapter 1. And in Colossians chapter 1, may I pick up in verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. God in you. Think of Galatians 1:24. God in you. Think of 1 Corinthians 14:25. And of a truth, they went into the unlearned and unsaved, went into the assembly in Corinth, and they said, of a truth, God is in you. Not with you, he's in you. Something has to be going on. And they went out and said it. They were so convinced, they went out and told other people, God is in them. Isn't that what it's about? Absolutely. Christ became incarnate. For what? So that we could be able to house and give home, give residence to Almighty God in a most marvelous way. And therefore, and read it, don't even let it slip by you, riches, verse 27, the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is a mystery. It isn't any more a mystery because we just explained it. It isn't a mystery anymore. No, no more. And glorious. Richard, remember we were going to go when the Queen Elizabeth's over, the Queen somebody over there, and get in and have all those jewels and everything. Listen, that couldn't even touch. That couldn't even touch what you've been given in Christ Jesus. The riches of the glory of the mystery of Christ in you. There's nothing to compare with it. How many believers do you think enjoy that? How many believers do you think practice that? Wow. Now, and thus, oh yes. Verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man, warning them. Wow, what fun's that? Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. What for? Why do we do it? Why should we do it? That we may present every man, every believer, what? perfect in Christ Jesus. Matthew 5, I want you to be perfect as your heavenly Father is. That's what I want you to be, perfect like Him. See, perfect. That's what. Wow. To present them perfect. I'm not interested in, no one else is either, whether you got a little outline or not. What good's an outline to you? For your notebook, right? What are you going to do with cancer? Have an outline? What are you going to do with a headache, a disappointment, discouragement, depression, and all the worry? What are you going to do with them? Well, pray. Then what? No, I want to have such a relationship to God that I have the immediate benefits of the great physician outworking His goodwill in my little life. Headache, no headache. Heartache, arthritis, do you ever hear of that, some of you? You got all of that. You know, what can I tell you? It's the way, I hate to tell you, you're getting older. It's the way it is. What's that got to do with it? Nothing. You want to have the benefits as you get older, and it changes. You're looking to God to take you inch by inch. And that's how you go, dear friends. To present them perfect. That's the assignment. You want to get up here? Present them perfect. Present them perfect. Wow. Now, so God, here we are, and looking to you, and it's all finished. You are the perfect Savior. You have provided us with the perfect vocation for us to live the rest of our life. You've given it to us. It's a gift. Live it. John 10, I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it what? More abundantly. I didn't come to make it dull, boring. I came to make it a wonder for you. And in your little lives, you get, here's this thing I had, something in Sunday school. I'm trying to get that up all week long. And anyway, what can I tell you? And God, you did it. I asked God, I said, God, I should get this up before I go out. He said, oh no, we're going to have a little exercise. And that's where the speaker comes in, you know. What can I tell you? Oh well, God knows. I'm not interested in that anyway. I don't care about that. No, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. And John, God, what are you trying to tell the 11 disciples? I'm trying to help them understand. But they won't have it till after Pentecost. You have to have my finished work to enjoy the finished product. God help us. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. And God, here we are. So we're looking to you to help us in every way. God, inch by inch. That's all. That's all. That's what it's all about. The wonder of wonders, the reality, the rightness of who you are and what you're doing. Spirit of God, thank you very, very, very much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being a perfect Savior, a perfect provider. And in you, Lord, is our life. And all the beauty, the wonder of holiness in you. Perfection in our Lord Jesus Christ. So be it. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.